We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you're buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
Welcome back to another episode of Getting Real with Bossy, the podcast that tells you what it's really like to be a business owner. We are your hosts, Kelly Bush.
And Kelly Metris.
And we are so glad to be here and bringing you our most authentic selves.
Our sweaty authentic selves.
We're so sweaty. It is so, so sweaty. It is so hot. I am so tired of this heat.
Yeah, I don't live here because I like extreme weather. I live here for they probably said it on the podcast before, for the 2 days in spring and 2 days in fall where it is perfect.
Another
thing small business owners get to deal with if you have a brick and... Sorry, my alarm's going off.
Mine too.
My alarm's reminding to meet you. Another thing we have to deal with for small business owners is AC. Either it's your office, if you have a home office or you rent an office, then it's your landlord's problem. But if you own your building or you lease your building and your landlord refuses to participate.
Yeah. My new AC is getting installed on Wednesday. It's been 7 weeks that we have been operating without air conditioning in our building, and it has been the hottest summer on record the hottest strain of 90 degree days in I don't know how many years, they said. So it has been a nightmare. I won't even say how many tens of thousands of dollars we're down because of it. And everybody's so wonderful. They're like, we love you, so sorry, bye-bye. And they've been great, but it's a nightmare. We've had to limit our menu, if not close the kitchen completely. But that's life, and that's what you have to do as a small business owner. Even our kitchen here, and I'm at the union right now, we've had to limit our menu. We're running a heat wave menu tonight because it's so hot and muggy in the kitchen. I just can't have certain equipment on because the kitchen's so small.
That's what people don't understand about our industry is the extremes in weather. The air conditioning units do not completely fix it. So that's going to affect your cooling systems, your heating systems, your hot lines, your cold lines, your bar coolers. So like it affects everything in the building.
Right.
And then you have to be on that. So Aaron's over there right now draining bar coolers because they've been running on high because the restaurant, one of our AC units is down, but the other one's still working. So it's not quite as cool as it needs to be. So the coolers are running extra hot. So we have to, they're running harder to stay cool. I am not drinking alcohol today. My chinking is energy drink on this lovely day.
All right, I need one of those. And, it becomes a question of how much do you share? Like how much do you, we talk a lot and we're going to talk today about being authentic and people want to know, but how much do you share? Because do they really want to know all of this? I don't know. Some people do. Some people... they want the information, but how much do you share about your troubles? And because this is going to affect how things are in the fall, because I have a $42,000 mini split unit that I'm putting in. These are going to affect things that are going to happen in 6 months from now. How much do we share? And when we're talking about being authentic, do we share this struggle?
And will ChatGPT share it? Or Gemini or whatever AI you're using, if you're writing your emails and your social media posts and your website using AI, is it going to capture all of the emotion that goes into it? And that's what we're going to talk about today.
I I can't wait. I'm really excited because it's something that we talk about. I feel like this topic is something that we get to every episode anyway, on some level.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to talk to an expert.
And it's not a business that we often work with in the copyright aspect of just the copy.
Right.
We're not talking images, layouts. We're talking the words you're using. Are you using the right ones?
Right.
So today we're going to interview Rachel Johnson of RJ Creative. And she's going to tell us all of the things we're doing wrong, which is my favorite.
Things that we can do right.
Fine, Kelly, be optimistic. I am sweaty.
I know. I'm so hot.
Well, we hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome to Getting Real with Bossy.
Hi, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Kelly,
the host of Getting Real with Bossy, the real, raw, and honest podcast about small business ownership. With our experience, 9 businesses and over 25 years, we continue to bear it all and share what we wish we had known.
We move past the must be nices and start getting real. Come along as we interview small business owners and get the true story.
Leave with another tool for the next time you feel alone on this journey.
Welcome back to another episode of Getting Real with Bossy. I am Kelly Bush.
And I'm Kelly Metres.
And today we are joined with Rachel Johnson from RJ Creatives. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, I think so. My name is Rachel Johnson, and I own Rachel Johnson Creative, or RJ Creative. And what I do is I help, for the most part, online business owners show up online more as themselves through their website copy, and specifically also email marketing, a little bit of socials, but I really like email marketing and website copy. So those are the two main services I provide business owners. I've been in business for about 3 years, and before this, I was a music teacher. So I taught music for 14 years. 7 were in New York, 7 were in Chicago. And when I knew I didn't want to do that for the rest of my life, partly because as a teacher, like, you have to stay in that district in order to, like, make any money. And if you move districts, or especially move across state lines, you kind of start from scratch all over again. And I like to be someone who, I'm someone who likes to be in, like, different places, different environments, check out different things, and live in other spots. And I thought, well, if I continue to teach, and I loved Chicago, but I'm like, I will be here for the rest of my life for the next 20, 30 years away from family in New York, you know, so what do I want to do? I got to figure something out. So as I was figuring it out, so I was a music teacher, so the arts and the creative space, and I always liked to write. And so one day it was a podcast about teacher career transitions. And someone mentioned they're a copywriter. And I'm like, what's a copywriter? Like, I don't even know what that is. Even though I had seen Mad Men like twice. I don't know if you guys are Mad Men fans.
Yeah.
But, you know, right? So they write copy. They're copywriters. They're in advertising, you know, on Madison Ave in New York City. But it didn't really click, right? I was in it more for like the drama and the costumes and stuff like that. So
John Hamm.
John Hamm, absolutely.
John
yeah.
Hamm.
Oh, yeah. And so
if John wants to be on our podcast, he can just reach out.
There you go.
We love it.
Don Draper, the scoundrel. Yeah. Like somehow the villain, but also the hero in the story.
Yeah.
Such good storytelling. But yeah, so copywriting, I was like, what's copywriting? And I just did some investigation. Of course, then the Instagram algorithms start popping up, all these copywriting courses. And so I'm like, well, I'm teaching full time. Let me just like learn the skill set. Maybe this would be a good skill set for me to have. And it came pretty naturally. But as things go, I think this might be a woman thing too, is the imposter syndrome and not feeling like I can be like good enough to sell this as a service, because I want to, one, just help people. And I don't want to have to, you know, charge anyone a lot of money to, you know, help them sell more online. Like, I just want to help them. So pricing was tough at first. And then the second thing was just like, am I good enough, you know, and can I do this? And and like, and then also having to sell yourself. Like, I didn't realize how much sales was involved in having your own business, which makes complete sense. But selling yourself when you're like a personal brand, because right, my brand is Rachel Johnson Creative. It's me. You're hiring me and my skill set. That's tricky, you know. So that I've been in business for 3 years, part time, then went full time when I moved back here to New York, and just really had to like go all in and figure that out. And it took some time, but the biggest thing was finding a couple of mentors and other copywriters who saw my work and were like, no, you're really good. Like, you got to keep doing this because you're good at what you do. And like, no, you know, I'd send them my work and they'd be like, no notes. This is awesome. So that was really encouraging. So ever since then it's like finding your niche. It's like, okay, how do I go about figuring out what the thing is that about me that stands out from everybody else? And what I've learned is that personality part, the personality driven copy, making your copy stand out, you know, in your email marketing, in your websites, and it not just being like a boring drab cookie cutter version of like every other competitor in your industry. So I really like diving into that kind of stuff. And yeah. And so here I am, email marketing and website copy.
That's awesome. And it's got to be really hard. I mean, we all do it as business owners because a lot of us do everything, right? So we are writing our own copy and we don't even realize it, right? Yeah. And we're just doing it because it's got to get done. And it's not the written word, unless you're writing a story or a novel, like you don't think about it as personality driven. Right. And I'm sure a lot of us are missing out on some great things that we could be doing. But let's circle back. Can you give any advice to other women that, or other business owners that are struggling with the pricing structure and charging what you're worth?
Oh yeah. It's so hard. It's so hard when you first start. I read some books. I'm a big book recommender. So my favorite book that I read about money, like mindset and like releasing those money blocks is, I don't love the title, but the title's called Get Rich Lucky Bitch by Denise Duffield Thomas. I don't know if you guys have read that one, but Denise Duffield Thomas is like a money coach and just helps women like, you know, understand their value and like how to justify the price that you bring. I also think too, like for me, when I started, I was charging pretty low. And then it's hard if you get clients that keep coming back because they like your work, it's hard to like raise those prices. And I'm sure in the restaurant industry, that's probably tough too. You know, it's tough for anyone to just raise their prices. But as you get better at things, or just inflation happens, like there's ways to, you know, be able to justify that cost. Or I have like, you know, my results that I show that I've increased conversions for this person, or I brought in X amount of dollars for this business with this email campaign, then I can justify raising those prices. But when I first started, I'd say it does take time. I want to be like a man, be like, yeah, no, just charge a bunch of money, you know, but I think it's just like, you start low if you don't have a lot of experience. And then as you improve and as you prove your skill set and that like what you're bringing to the table is worth investing in, then, you know, raising your prices accordingly, but do it sooner than later. don't wait.
Do it sooner than later. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Don. Looking for the perfect venue for your next event? We have what you need at the Union Tavern Restaurant and Event Space in Seabreeze.
Whether you're planning a large celebration for up to 120 guests or need a cozy, intimate space, we've got you covered. Check out the Brad Street, our hidden gem speakeasy, perfect for gatherings of up to 20 people.
With reasonable pricing, an exciting and inclusive menu, and no reservation fees for weekday groups, the Union Tavern makes hosting your event easy and affordable.
Celebrate in style right here at the Union Tavern.
Book today at the Union Tavern Seabreeze. com.
It's such a tricky thing, and I think as women we're tend to be more attuned to it and more sensitive. You know, Kelly and I talk about that, especially with, you know, I think it's a little bit different where we're talking about food costs and food, but like we know what it's like to go out to eat. So for us, it's sometimes tricky to want to charge more because we're also that consumer as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really, it's a,
it's a tough thing. So I'm glad that it's a conversation that we're having.
I mean, yeah. We honestly struggled charging for Bossy.
Right.
I mean, we put so much time and energy and we end up putting all kinds of resources into it out of our personal accounts all the time. And we finally were like, you know, we need to charge. And a lot of people struggle with that and they struggle with paying for it. And we get that, you know, I struggle with paying for lots of things. And a lot of people, I think, were put off that we started charging. But we were like, this is something we're putting so much time and energy into, in addition to our resources, in addition to supplying, you know, food and drinks and snacks and you know, whatever to everybody, and marketing and doing all the things that we're doing. And that's not a very expensive, I mean, we don't charge much.
Well, and I think, too, like, it's how you frame it. And also, if the clients you're, or not clients, should they call it, the members, in this case, the members you're reaching, if they are hungry, don't let them starve, right? If they're seeking networking and they want to connect with other women, you know, female business owners, like, create a space for that. Like, yeah, there's a few female, you know, women's networking, you know, networks in Rochester, but there's always, like, there's always room for more. Everyone brings a different flavor to their own, you know, membership or business. And so, yeah, it's how you frame it too. It's like, if people think it's, I have spent money on things that I probably shouldn't have spent money on, but I really felt it was worth it. So that's where good copywriting comes in too, with website copy and, you know, emails. Like, if you frame it in a way and you really show the value that you're bringing people, it's a no brainer for people to sign up for it. So that's the other part with, pricing yourself, is making sure you're framing it in a way that it makes complete sense and that you're also speaking to your ideal client. That's the big thing that a lot of people don't do, or they don't really take the time to do a deep dive into their dream client and, like, you know, what their pain points are, what solutions they want to have, and all the little, like, Seinfeld moments that they have, like, that you can reference, like, in just the context of regular life, that really make them feel like you see them, you can connect with them, and you feel their pain, and you're here to offer a solution for them. Because I think about, as a teacher, like, I just come from that space of, like, just being a helper. Like, I just want to make the world a better place. And I think all business owners do, and all women especially do. Like, we've got that feminine edge, right? And my mom, she was like, all worked for nonprofits her whole life. And so to go into business and to ask for, like, money for it, it's hard to do. But
that's also crazy, right? Like, that we are raised in a world that as women, we're expected to do all that for free.
Yeah. Well, you, like, think
we're
about
thinking it's normal. It's weird, right, that we're charging money for that is a social issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so going back to, like, I forget how I ended up on that rant right there, but I was talking about dream clients and connecting them. So the helping. So, like, as a female business owner who knows how to write websites that can convert those browsers into buyers, I'm helping people, like, make more money, right? I'm, like, helping them make more money by doing that proper research, bringing in their personality, focusing on the brand voice, and creating that conversion copy for them, whether on their website or their emails. And so it's like, well, why wouldn't I charge for that, you know? And why would anyone, if someone wants to work with me, then they're going to be happy to pay that, because they like what I do and they see what I do. And I have had people come to me. Actually, I had someone come to me last week. I posted something on LinkedIn. I don't know if you guys on LinkedIn at all? On LinkedIn. So I go on LinkedIn, and, you know, it's kind of that thought leadership space. And I don't love it because I'm a little more quirky and goofy, if you couldn't tell. And so LinkedIn is more like, and, like, you know, this is what I think and this is what I say and it must be true. And I'm more just like, I just want to be a little silly or do some, like, pop culture references. You know, it's my brand. So I did a, I don't know if I'll describe it very well for your listeners, but, you know, that Charlie Brown, Lucy, like, the psychiatrist is in.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Right thing. So yes. I took that idea. I superimposed a picture of myself into I made my own drawing, so I'm not getting copyright infringement. Made my own drawing. I said, the messaging strategist is in, you know, messaging therapy, two cents. Like, I'll give you my 2 cents, right? And then it has, like, me in a little bubble, and it's, like, you know, saying things like, I'm trying to think right now of the different little like quirky little things that said like, oh, have you been talking to ChatGPT unsupervised, or, you know, when did you start ghosting your email list? You know, like little things that like, don't worry. We all hate our own website. Don't worry about it. You know, like just showing people like I can like come in and like listen and understand like what your problems are or what you're stressing about. And like, it's okay, because as a solopreneur, especially, you're wearing all the hats, even not as a solopreneur. I'm sure both of you are wearing all the hats all the time for running your business. And like Kelly, you mentioned, you don't get to do what you want to do because you're the boss. You're just always busy. So I posted this on there, and it's very different from like your typical LinkedIn stuff, right? And I had someone call me within 2 hours saying, I loved your posts. That was so funny and so creative. I want you to write for me. And it was just like, And I was really shocked. I've never had anyone just call me within 2 hours of posting anything, you know, which, again, just shows like if you show up and you're speaking to that person that wants that, like, is looking for your services, they're going to find you and they're going to want to hire you because you're resonating with them. So,
yeah.
Well, I think
I'm trying to speaks find to authenticity, because I think that's so important. I mean, we kind of started this all out with Mad Men, which is, I don't know that they were based in authenticity so much, but it's so important to be putting your authentic self out now, especially since the pandemic. So I love that you are kind of newer in this, because so many people who are doing what you do and have been doing it for a long time maybe haven't really grasped that as much as maybe you have, because people today really do want to hear that. They want to hear from you. More so than ever before, do they want to know the owner? They want to know your employees. They want to know where they want. I mean, they want to know where you live. They want to know your family. I mean, it is intrusive to an extent.
Yeah.
But they do want to know that. And I think to a point, it's wonderful. And I think we have to get better as business owners on how to put our more authenticity into what it is that we're doing and what it is that we're writing and putting out on social media and into our websites. And we are also really busy, and so we are utilizing things like ChatGPT, which is not great at that. So I think it's a really important thing to talk about, like how can we bridge that gap and make sure we are putting that authentic piece into the work that we do.
Yeah, it's definitely hard, and it can be scary for people too to like, wait, I gotta show up more as myself. Like, no, I just run a business. I want my business to be the personality, right? Which you can do, right? That's where you bring in branding and that kind of stuff. What is it? Liquid Death, the water, right? Like they have, that has its own personality. There's a lot of examples we could go with just brands having personalities. But with ChatGPT, like, I feel like we're reaching a point now, which is good for my industry, is that people are seeing ChatGPT as like not the way to just fix everything and output everything that you do, because there is that lack of soul and depth, and you can just
you can spot tell. It instantly now.
Yeah,
you know, at the beginning you're like, oh, that's some clever writing. Now I'm like, well, that's AI. Come on, guys, that's wow. It's so apparent now.
Yeah,
it's almost, I'm annoyed when I see it, or a response to a Google. I don't know. It's frustrating. There's wonderful things. AI is doing amazing things for small businesses, but I think it's tricky. But that's a whole other. Go on.
Oh no, that's part of it though. Like I have a whole training called "How to Sound More Human-y and Less ChatGPT-y," and it's really about people finding their brand voice and like figuring out like how do you want to sound. You know, who do you resonate with? Look back at your past content and see what does resonate. And then what were you writing, whether it was an email or a social media post? And then do more of that, you know, like kind of take an audit of your own like past stuff. And I'll tell you, like if the ChatGPT stuff probably isn't resonating as well. It could. There are people who go in. I know someone who does like what's called an AI twin, but it's a lot of work. You're putting in a lot of work to get that ChatGPT to sound like you. And it's fine. It can work. But if you don't do it right, or you don't know how to do it, then you just sound like everybody else, which is not what you want to do, especially in this day and age with the authenticity component you were talking about, Kelly, is just like, you know, I tell people to write how they talk. If they're doing an email list, maybe not for I think for restaurants, it might be a little different. I don't know if you guys do email marketing or not with the restaurant stuff and how you approach that. But just, you know, writing how you talk. And then I usually will, when I write my emails, I have a weekly newsletter, almost week, a weekly-ish newsletter, maybe every other week, you know.
Are you posting your email list?
I am. Yeah, I did last week. I did, to be fair. But I was really busy working on a goal, which I'll talk about in a second here. I'll write my email like in my voice and just whatever. And then I might ask ChatGPT to give me some, can you clear it up or can you do some grammar edits? But then I still won't take most of it. I'll take maybe like 10-20% of some things they caught that I didn't catch. And the rest, I'm like, no, that doesn't sound like me anymore, you know? So I try to make sure to just stay true to who I am and sound like myself in my email communications and in my website. If you go to my website, rj-creative.com, you'll see, like, I'm just being me on the website while also still speaking to who I want to, you know, attract and explaining what I do. And it's all quite the art form. It takes a long time to do. So, yeah. It's a lot of work. And I've probably redone my website like 4 or 5 times in the last 3 years because it's just also like my business kind of keeps changing and who I, you know, I find out who I like to work with. And then I'm like, oh, I want to work with more of that type of person. So I'm going to have my website copy reflect that because I want to draw more of those type of people in, you know. So
I also think that people don't realize that you can change your website whenever you want. Like, yeah. I mean, you don't want to completely rebrand out of the blue without, you know, planning for it, but changing the copy on your website, and that keeps you relevant on Google. Mm-hmm. So the Google algorithm wants to see that your website is active, right? Yeah. So new websites are going to link up in the search engine first. You know, active websites are going to link up on the search engine first. Websites that people are clicking on, which generally end up being the new and active websites, is what the algorithm picks up on. So if you're an existing business, you want to redo your copy, to make sure it's up to date because it's a completely different world than it was just 5 years ago, but B, to make yourself relevant in the algorithm. Like, you need to show the algorithm that you're worth looking at.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And there's so much. I do a lot of research prior. I'd say when I'm doing a website project, it's like 80% research, 20% writing, because I'm trying to figure out, I'll interview people's customers, clients, we'll look at testimonials. If they haven't done a survey, this is why it's important to have an email list, because then you can send out a survey and get information and feedback from what people are reading right now, what they're listening to, what they're looking for, what their struggles are, all that kind of stuff. And all of that can be reflected back on the copy. And what I also love about testimonials is finding like what's called sticky copy, like that, just, you know, some words that are just like really stick in your brain and phrases and that sound really unique, and just using that somewhere in the copy. So yeah, it's quite the process doing all that work.
That's awesome though.
Yeah. Yeah. And same with the emails too. I mean, emails, the other part I like to do is figuring out the brand voice. So, you know, there's different types of voices. There's actually 9 voice types, but they narrow down under like 3 umbrellas, like the voice of authority, voice of accessibility, voice of outlook. So voice of authority is more like someone who's like, what I say goes, like LinkedIn, right? What I say goes, voice of God, you know, this is what I say, and do this thing. And then voice of outlook is maybe a little more like, you know, yogi and like, oh, like just this is the world, and a little more like, not woo, but kind of woo. And then voice of accessibility is like friend at the bar. It's kind of what I'm more like, is just like, hey, I'm your friend, I'm here to help you out, and like, let's make sure like we work together well and have a good time doing it. So you want to know like what your brand represents, and then just narrowing it into your brand voice, and then using that to inform like what kind of copy you write. So there's so much.
Today, Today's episode is sponsored by Selena's Mexican Restaurant in Rochester, New York. We are proud to continue offering fresh-made, Mexican-inspired recipes that are affordable and served by Rochester's best. Check out our catering menu for groups of 10 to 2,000. Looking for something different to do? Selena's hosts monthly tequila tasting classes, as well as corporate team-building seminars. Check out the website to learn more, selenas.com, S-A-L-E-N-A-S.com. Come in and let us take care of the rest.
So let's shift, and now I have a question about email. So we were talking about website, but then you brought up the emails. I have like 14,000 people on my email list.
Ooh, that's good.
Getting them to respond when I like put in a call of action, right? Like, obviously, the biggest call of action I want is for them to come in or order food, whether it's in or takeout, whatever. Mm-hmm. I want them to order, right? And I can see, because of what I use to track it, exactly how much money each email brings in. You know, it reminds people that you're here. It lets them know what you've got going on, you know, whether or not they may have already planned on coming in. You know, the internet can connect. Oh, this person opened this email, and then next week this person ordered food, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to get a call of action of like, give me feedback or answer this question, or I haven't done a poll yet, but something along those lines, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll get 20 people, maybe even if it's a good one, 40 people to respond to my email out of 14,000.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm like, that's great, but like, Jesus, like,
how? Yeah.
Do you have suggestions for ways to get people to open emails? Like, I don't know if they're getting filtered. I know Gmail, like, you know, filters everything. So yeah. I don't know if they're even seeing the emails. I have like a, I think it's like a 40% open rate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty like, good. That still doesn't mathematically connect to call of action. So like, how do you get people to open it? How do you get people to engage with it? How do you get them to answer?
Yeah. Yeah, great question. Yeah, so it kind of like, it's like looking at the bigger picture, like the bird's eye view. I think of like the funnel and like that very first contact that you have with someone. So, because it can end up in spam really easily. So, can I ask you first, how do you get people on the email list? What's like the first step?
It's through our loyalty program generally.
Okay.
So either they sign up like on the website or when they join the loyalty program.
Okay. And then when they join the loyalty program, are they getting like a discount or just joining? Yep. How does that, what's the next step there for them?
They earn points and then get free food.
Okay. So, and then you're not sure, you said you're not sure if it ends up in spam or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say when they join the loyalty, so here's my first thought is if they join the loyalty program, if it's on the website, if it goes like a thank you page afterwards. So if they log in and then it goes to like a thank you page, is that usually after they give you their email? If it's not already there, just say, you know, please check your spam to make sure it's not like, just tell them, right? Like, please make sure not to, please check your spam, to make sure that you get your, you know, XYZ discount. Remind them what they're getting so they know, oh yeah, no, I want to get that. Let me go check my spam. So like, remind them what they're getting and why they should check their spam. And then in that email, say, don't forget to move, if they send it up in your spam, don't forget to drag it over to your primary tab, you know, like tell them, like give them the step-by-step. And then if they do that, I mean, you can't obviously guarantee they're all going to do it, but giving those reminders along the way can help them get into their primary inbox. And then, I'd say, because like, you don't want to do too many call to actions per email, right? So first call to action, get them to drag it over to the primary. And then if you do a second automated email, that could be the one where you ask them to reply. So trying to get them to engage immediately, like on that second or maybe third email, can also help with just that response, because it gets them comfortable or used to responding like, oh, this is a restaurant, but really Kelly's behind this restaurant, right? And so like, oh, she's a real human, like Kelly was saying about the authenticity part. Let me respond. I know I had someone who she's a fellow copywriter. She creates quizzes for other business owners and course creators. And she, in her welcome sequence, she's like, reply to this email with something. She asked them a specific question. I can't remember what it was, But she goes, and I'll send you my secret popcorn recipe, which is award winning. So it gives them like this little incentive. So I don't know. I don't know with restaurant stuff if you could be like, right. Oh, reply, you know, with whatever, ask a relevant question. And then, you know, and then I'll send you, I don't know, you know, something to be food related, right? I don't know what that'd be. You have to like think about it. So that just gets them in the habit of replying. And then you might have more engagement that way down the road. Again, you have to like, kind of, you know, it's a long game, but you break see how that works. Yeah. And then for the surveys, I have like a whole bunch of survey questions, like specific questions to ask people to get that sticky copy for like your future, you know, copy. So, yeah. And then again, for a survey also, like, I don't know, do you do an incentive for the survey?
So generally, if I'm asking you to do something for me, I'll be like, oh, and you know, I'll enter you in to win a $25 gift
card. Yeah, perfect.
And then I'll just like pick a random, like I'll pick a random number and then I'll count down like the comments.
Yeah.
Or if it's an email, so I'll count down the emails. I'm like, oh, okay, 27. And I'll count to like the 27th email and be like, you get the gift card.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. So yeah, so that incentive. And so I say start from the beginning of just like making sure they're not in spam, reminding them to move it. Second email, get them to start engaging right away. So it's like common practice. Like, oh, this is an email. I engage with this email. And then when it's time to send a survey, they're used to that. So that might bring it up a little bit.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any tips and tricks for email copy? Things that people should avoid?
So when I think of email, I think of it as like inviting someone or you're inviting yourself in a way into someone's home. Not really. Like they're inviting you first, right? But like when you go to someone's home, you're not just like, I'm not like, oh, hi, I'm Rachel and I have all this stuff I want to sell. You know, you're not being a used vacuum salesman from 1958 or whatever, right? Like you want to go in, you want to like just show that you care, show up. They always want to know. One of the questions I liked that everyone's always asking themselves and they're reading sales emails or just copy or going to a website, the number one question people are asking themselves is what's in it for me? So they don't care about what you do. They do, but they want to know what's in it for me. So yeah, so you're thinking about what's in it for them. So like for the first email, that's usually just like, I like to do like 5 emails for like a welcome sequence. So that's like, I call it like the digital handshake. It's your first impression. In some cases for you, it's the loyalty program. For online service providers, it might be like what's called, you know, a lead magnet. So it might be some free resource they signed up and you're just kind of giving like your playful nudge to move them into the spam folder. You're getting them to just kind of get a little peek into your personality. And then the second email, maybe you're doing more of an origin story to really connect with them. So you're just, they're learning more about you and your background. Again, you're not trying to like sell just yet because they invited you into your home and you don't want to be pushy, right? And then it's just kind of your chance to be vulnerable and authentic and like you you are a human. You're not just another business owner trying to sell them something. And then that third email might be like a little bit more like a nudge or like a little hint at something that you have to offer. And then by the fourth email, you're kind of doing like a soft pitch. So if these are all automated and you have them written a certain way, then one, it takes the work off of you, right? Because you've just got these constantly going in the background as people are signing up for your loyalty program or whatever it is that they want from you. They're just getting to know you. So you're not like being super pushy and you just kind of drip them out. You know, you can do every day, every other day, every few days, whatever people are comfortable with. I have like a sequence I like to follow, but some people are like, that's too much or that's not enough. So, you know, I listen to the client, but yeah. So I'd say just take it slow. don't be super pushy. Be a Don Draper a little bit, right? Just be kind of smooth, but not manipulative. So don't be Don Draper.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Just take just a little. Sprinkle. Yeah, a little sprinkle. Be cool. Be chill. Be excited that they're there. They want to be part of your community and your universe, you know? So let them know. Let them know how much you appreciate it. So, yeah.
That's so helpful.
Yeah. You're welcome.
I'm going to redo my intro emails now.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have an automation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I can send if you want. it's a little more lean towards course creators, but you could apply it to the restaurant industry. I have a, it's called the Just Send It Toolkit, and it's like the first 5 emails to send to your subscribers. And if you want, you can put that in the show notes. I also have a few freebies. So there's that one. I also have the, what did I call it? It's got a lot of Spice Girls references in it. It's like spice up your emails challenge. It's a challenge. So it's a challenge to like spice up your emails, bring more of your personality into it. And that's just like a, I don't know, 10 page PDF, pretty easy to read through and just like give you some ideas of how you can bring in some copywriting tips and tricks while also bringing in your personality while also not being super salesy and pushy. And then the third freebie I have is a quiz. And that's like, I keep changing the title on that one. I think it used to say, what's your copywriting block? But right now I think it's, why are your dream clients not buying? So that kind of shows you after taking these, like answering like 8 or 9 questions is like, are you over explaining in your website or emails? Are you not saying enough? Are you rambling? You know, are you not asking for the sale? So, especially as women, sometimes we just don't want to ask for the sale because we feel weird about it. So that quiz too, I can give you the link to that to put in the show notes. People can just take that quiz and see like, and then the results are like, I give a lot of information away about like how specifically your results like, or I'm sorry, how that, the results of the quiz give you like a lot of tips, like a ton of tips and actionable things you can do to like make your copy just stand out and sound more like you and, you know, ask for the sale or be less chit chatty or whatever it is that the quiz results show. So
that's awesome and very generous of you.
Oh yeah. I've been making these free resources and testing them out. And like I said, I have a collection, so whatever the listeners want, they can have.
So Rachel, if somebody wants to hire you to write their copy, how do they reach out to you?
So many ways. I have my website, rj-creative.com. That'll give you a pretty good overview of how I work. I have like, you know, my different services. Oh, I want, you know what, really quick. I want to talk about pricing, like doing a throwback or to earlier in the beginner. So one of the things I have found with pricing, because, you know, writing a full website, doing a full email sequence, I'm not going to do for just a few $100s, you know, it's a lot of work, but there are small business owners out there that can't always afford like a multi-$1,000 project for something, right? So I have what's called a copy sound check. And what that is like a choose your own adventure, like whatever it is you need, we're going to sit down for 2 hours and we're going to get it done. And we'll either spend the first hour like doing it together. I'll help you do some strategy or some clarification of like who your dream client is or where, you know, find some funnel gaps. And then the second hour, I can go in and like rewrite an email for you or maybe start working on your website page, right? Like something that'll kind of give you a push to like get going and like in a better direction than where you've been. And that is like kind of like an entry level way of like working with me. So it's not that expensive. It's like $500 and I pour my heart and soul into it. And I give people a lot to think about and also like kind of clear their head a little bit, you know, cause we get so in our heads with our business. But, that's the copy sound check. You'll see I have copy sound check. I have VIP days or VIP weeks, meaning like, oh, I've been working on a website or I have this email campaign and I have just put it off and I need it done like next week. I have space that I create in my calendar for people to just like hire me if they need something a little more sooner and they can't wait 6 to 8 weeks. And then I have my bespoke copy, which is like the website copy, email marketing and stuff. So rj-creative.com. I got to do a shout out to Melanie Watson, who did my branding, and Yolana Hollister. Fantastic. Yes. Yep. And Yolana Hollister, who did of the Rochester Photography Experience, who did my photos on there.
She's so fantastic too.
Yeah.
You got everybody on your website.
Yes, I do. And I think I have Krista Hudson of Hudson Life Coaching, who's a life coach for moms. I've done some work with her, so I've got testimonial from her. So yeah, it's very Rochester centric website.
Very cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, and my Instagram is Rachel Writing Copy, and Rachel is RACHAEL, and that's where you can definitely see the quirky side of me. But I like to give copywriting tips and like ways to not sound like ChatGPT. Like here's some ways to, you know, sound more like yourself.
If you go to rj-creative.com after listening to all of this and everything Rachel said, you'll see it live and in action. Everything Rachel's described is here. And you can really see, I have it up right here. You can see your personality. You can see who you're hiring, why you're hiring them, what makes you different than your average copywriter. So I think that that's a great segue, and that everybody should take a moment to just really quick pop it into their browser. And something you said earlier made me realize that browser is a person browsing.
Oh yeah.
Like website. In my head, browser is just the browser bar. Like it's just, you're what right. It's called. So you don't like put two things. Like I don't consider Kelly and I having the same name, cause that's Kelly.
Yeah.
It's only weird when my kids say her name, but everybody else, they're like, isn't it weird? I'm like, no, that's Kelly. Like,
yeah.
You know, you just have words in your head that just never connect.
Right.
The browser bar, just pop it in your browser bar and right. see what Rachel's talking about.
Yeah. And browse. Right. And then you have your website browsers, people browsing the internet. Yeah. Words. I know. Words are confusing.
Words are crazy things. Well, thank you so much, Rachel. We loved having you on today. We learned so much. I hope our listeners learned a lot. Yeah. I have about 87 things now I have to do that weren't on my to-do list prior to this interview, and yay.
Yay. Well, thanks for having me. I have a goal of booking 30 speaking gigs in 90 days, and you guys are speaking gig number one. Yay. I got 29 more to go.
Excellent. I hope this helps.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So thank you so
That's
much.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, send us the list of the other ones so we can promote.
We'll do. Thanks.
Have a good one.
Thank you too. Bye.
All right.
Well, that was helpful. So many good tips.
I don't always enjoy an interview that's so good that I end up with a to-do list, though.
I know, but it's stuff that's going to be helpful, and it's stuff that's going to generate income, I think.
Yes. It's so necessary, no matter what your business is. I mean, everything you write. And that's the other thing, too, that we don't talk about is, like, even on your personal stuff, right? If you have social media, people are paying attention. And all those people who are on your account, they know who you are and they know what you do. And that's probably why you have them on your personal page, is because those are the customers and guests and friends that want to be a part of it, right? They want to know the details. So you got to watch what you're saying. So all those words are important no matter where you're putting them.
Right. And we learned that at a young age. Words are important. They have power. Use them wisely.
So I'm going to spend this week looking through all my copy, which is great because I got two emails going out this week. So now I'm going to reformat the entire process instead of blindly doing it.
Well, especially like those, you know, if you are using a program where you have those first intro emails, the first three or four or five emails going out, you don't look at them once they're set up. You do that when you set up your new POS and you don't think about it again or whatever platform that you're using. So it's a good reminder to go back and look at those things. And I'm really looking forward to those freebies that she mentioned and going through those. I always love when people are so generous to share those things. It's incredible.
Yes. I can't wait. And also, you just made me think of something. As business owners that are doing everything, there's things you're like, oh, I need to do this. I need to set up automatic emails. I need to set up this. So you just do it, right? Mm-hmm. You pop in whatever it is and you're like, good, it's off my to-do list. Well, that's great because you have to have it done. Like, at least something's going out and it's probably not awful. So right. Now take that time in your air-conditioned space, hopefully, to refine and reword it so it's more personal and not just robotic.
Exactly. Yeah, that was really good.
All right. Well, thank you. And make sure you send us your thoughts and comments. Share this episode with someone that you think needs it. And if you think somebody needs Rachel, because go to her website. It's really awesome. I wasn't kidding. And it's really well done. And follow us at Bossy Rochester. You can contact us, bossyrock, that's R-O-C, @gmail.com. And you can go to our website and learn more about what we do, bossyrock.com. And stay engaged.
Please do. Be bold.
Be brave.
Be that boss.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.